there's three readings today. The first one is from Matthew 1, verses 18 to 24, and it's on page... Sorry, I'm just trying to find what the page number is. 783 of the Pew Bibles. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfil what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. The second reading is from Luke, and this is page 830 of the Pew Bible. So Luke 1, verse 28 to 32. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." The next reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests."
Thanks, Mum. Merry Christmas, everyone. Merry Christmas. I'm going to get in early. For the first time in 10 years, I will not be celebrating Christmas Day with you here at Dixon Baptist. Some of you will know Peter Jones, husband of Jenny Jones. He's been doing an interim pastoral job down in Coomer for the last 12 months, and he will actually be here on Christmas Day preaching, and I'll be preaching at Coomer Baptist on Christmas Day and celebrating with the Lutheran Church on Monday, conducting their music as well. So we'll be having Christmas in Coomer. So let me wish you a very Merry Christmas. As Heidi said, it's been a lovely year, and I do wish you all a Merry Christmas. We've been looking at the names, the titles of Jesus in the Nativity readings. So we're going to look at that again. The readings have been very familiar because we've read them all the last couple of weeks. But let's pray as we look at Jesus the Saviour. Oh, Jesus, we celebrate your coming. We celebrate your coming into the world, your incarnation, coming to live amongst your people. But most of all, Lord, we celebrate that you came to us as a Saviour. You saw us in our weakness, in our need, in our sin, and you came to save us. And we want to celebrate that today. Would you open our hearts to hear your word? We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. the birth of a child is always exciting. It's always exciting, but there's lots to get ready for. And amongst all the things that go into preparing for a baby, there's the job of choosing a name. It's a big one. That's a big one, because that's going to stay with that kid for a long time. My wife and I have had three daughters, and each time we spent hours poring through the baby name books, writing long lists, writing short lists, trying them out, coming up with joke names. That was mainly my part. Some names I loved and she hated, like nut, flat, no. Some names she thought were great, and I'm like, no, that's a no. There were some names that we loved the sound of, and I've got to say, actually, it's hard to find a name that goes with Glowacki. That was a challenge for us. But some we loved the sound of, and then we looked up the meaning, and it was kind of like child who puts pineapple on a pizza, or like, you know, kid who has new shoes or something. And we were just like, no, that's lame. We want this name to mean something. It was important to us that this name was going to mean something. Because there's something about when a baby comes, it gets you thinking, what is it that's important? What are your hopes and dreams for this child? In some families, I don't know if this is your tradition, but in some families, there are significant family names that get passed down through generations. I know a family that they passed down a name for the first girl and the first boy in every new generation. They had the same name. It becomes a part of their family tree, a name that echoes down through their family tree, through the generations. And sometimes there's a name to live up to. Sometimes there's a name to live down. But just think for a moment how profound it is that parents bestow a name on their child. There's this little life growing. They don't know who this child's going to be. They don't know what this child's going to do. They don't know what life's going to hold for this child, what life's going to bring their way. But in an act of faith, you name them and you say to the world, this is my son, this is my daughter, this is who they are, this is their name. Well, over the last couple of weeks here, we've been looking at what the titles of Jesus, what the names of Jesus tell us about him. And today we're looking at Jesus the Savior. We've just read the gospel accounts where the angel announces the birth of Jesus separately to both Mary and to Joseph. We read in the account of Luke when the angel appears to Mary. We're told that she will bear a miraculous child. Listen to it again. This is the announcement, Luke 1, 30 to 32. You can flick along if you like. You kind of need a thumb in both places, but if you want to just listen, that's totally fine. So Luke 1, verse 30. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." There's a lot we could dig into. We've dug into it in some of the previous weeks, but for now I just want you to know. So the angel tells Mary the name, call him Jesus. Well, think again of Matthew's account, Matthew's gospel, where he writes, we hear the moment where Joseph finds out about the surprise package. He finds out Mary is pregnant. He knows he's not the father. He plans to break off the engagement quietly. But again, an angel comes with the news. This is Matthew 1, verse 20. But after he'd considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." So Mary and Joseph both have an angel announce the birth. The message is tailored to both of them in their different situations, but one detail is the same. To both of them, they are told, you are to call him Jesus. They're given the name. Call him Jesus. Can you see what's happening? God is naming his son. God is saying to the world, this is my boy. This is who he is. This is his name. His name is Jesus. Why Jesus? Did God like the way it sounded? Maybe it's kind of nice. It rolls off the tongue. Was it a family name? Kinda. It's actually a Greek form of an old Jewish name, Joshua. And there's a fair few Joshuas kicking around in the Old Testament. There's a few great-great-granddads who might have had that name. No, why Jesus? It's because of what it means. It means the Lord saves. This is what it means. The Lord saves. When God named his son, he sent his angel to Joseph to say, "You are to name my boy Jesus." It showed the hopes, the plans, the dreams, the desires that God had for his son. And God did know who this child would be. God did know what this child would grow up to do. God did know what life was going to bring for him. Because God sent his son into the world to be a savior. It was just the right name. Because it said exactly what Jesus would do. The Lord saves. So Mary and Joseph are both given the name. But when the news of Jesus' birth is announced to the world, he is again declared as the one who will save. Let's hear again when the angels announce the news to the shepherds. Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 8. Sorry, it'd be Luke 2, isn't it? Luke 2, verse 8. "And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior is born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.'" What did the name mean? The Lord saves. And what was the announcement? Good news. Great joy. A Savior has been born to you. Jesus came to save. Now we need to pause for a moment here. We know that in Jesus the Lord has come to save. We know that the angels announced the birth of a Savior, but we have to ask, save us from what? What are we being saved from? What do we need saving from? Have a think about it. What do you need saving from? Now I wonder about those shepherds in the field at night. They're just there going about their business, looking after their sheep, any other ordinary night, and then out of nowhere, an angelic host announced a Savior. What did they think they were being saved from? Take a moment, just think for a second. Think about your favorite superhero. Here's for the kids. Who's your favorite superhero? Where are the children? Has anyone got a favorite superhero? Who's your favorite superhero? No? Anyone? This is not rhetorical. I'm actually asking. Yeah. Batman. Okay. Any advance on Batman? Spider-Man. Superman. Classics. Batman, Spider-Man, Superman. Anyone else? Any of the kids got a favorite superhero? Yeah. The Hulk. Yeah. Nice. Okay. All right. Imagine that. You've got your favorite superhero. Now, imagine this. Imagine that you're just sitting on your couch, you're just chilling out at home one day, and there's this big knock on the door, and we're going to go with the Hulk, right? So it's a big one. Boom, 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 boom. So you open the door, and there's the Hulk standing on the doorstep, and he says, I don't know a Hulk voice, like, "I have come to save you," right? And you would think, wow, I mean, I've just been sitting on the couch eating the last of the ice cream when no one was watching. Like, thanks, but actually things are going really fine, and I don't know that I need saving. I think you'd have to draw one of two conclusions. One, the Hulk has come a long, long way for no reason. Or two, there's actually a very real danger that you are unaware of and you need the Hulk to save you. What do you need saving from? I think actually we look for saviors everywhere. Some of us are looking for a special someone to save us from our loneliness. Some of us are looking for a windfall to save us from poverty. Some of us are looking for power to rescue us from our enemies, conquer our rivals. Some of us are looking for a cause that's going to save us from a lack of meaning. Some of us are looking for someone to tell us what to do so that we have sunsets of control in the chaos. We look for saviors everywhere. The problem is, could we be placing our trust and hanging our hopes on those saviors and actually missing what the angels are announcing to us. We're interested in Jesus to the extent that he might solve whatever problem we feel is the biggest. In fact, we could even try and bend Jesus to be the kind of savior that we want him to be. But at Christmas, heaven knocks on the door, boom, 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 and announces a savior, and it's big, and it's loud, and it's obtrusive, it's offensive even. Today, to you this day, a savior has been born to you. Now, if we're going to understand what's going on, we have to recognize what Jesus came to save us from. And the angel announced it to Joseph right back in our first reading. Did you hear it? Give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. What does that mean? Imagine that you're stuck in a hole and you couldn't get out. You need someone to save you. Sin is all the things we do and say and think that take us further away from God. It's like a shovel. We just keep digging and digging and digging, and every time it takes us further and further away from God. But it also puts us deeper and deeper and deeper into a hole that we can't get out of. And the scary part is that sin isn't just stuff that we do on the outside, an arbitrary list of rules that we break. Sin is a corruption on the inside that separates us from God and messes up our lives and our relationships in all sorts of ways. It's horrible. But at Christmas, the angel comes to Joseph and shared the wonderful news that Jesus came to be our Savior. He came to save us from our sins. And here's the incredible thing. Jesus didn't walk by and see us in a hole, just kind of call down, hey, you're right down there, throw us a rope, and then kind of expect us to pull ourselves up out of the hole. That's not what Jesus did. He came into the world and joined us in the hole that we dug for ourselves. And he paid all the penalty for our sin by dying on the cross. When he rose from the dead, he raised us back to life with God. All we do is cling to him, and he lifts us out of the hole. He brings us back to God. You know the carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing? I love the line, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. That's what Christmas is about. Reconciliation. It's a big word, but it means making people who were enemies into friends. Reconciliation. Let me put it another way. Jesus crosses the distance, pays the penalty, and brings us back to God. And here's the good news for each one of us. He came to save us. He came to save you and me. He got down into the hole we had made, and he died for us so that we could be brought back to God. Jesus didn't come for the people who thought they had it all together. He didn't come for the people who think that they can solve their own problems. He came to rescue those who recognize they can't fix themselves. They have a problem they can't solve. He came for the people who recognize we need a powerful Savior. And the news is, the good news is, if we trust in Jesus, if we accept him as our Savior and our Lord, he can save us from our sins as well. He can reconcile us to God and give us a new relationship with him. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. So we are at the end of the year. I hope that the end of the year is a wonderful celebration for you. I hope it's a great time with your family and your friends. I hope surrounded with people that you love. I pray that it's a time full of joy, full of peace, full of hope for a new year. I hope there's an inordinate amount of lollies that you eat over the next 2 weeks. I hope there's a lot of gifts under the presents. There's a lot of great stuff to celebrate. hope you have a wonderful couple of weeks. But in the midst of all that great stuff to celebrate, none of them is as great as this. God sent his Son into the world to save us from our sins and bring us back to God. And that is something that echoes not just through the Christmas season, but echoes through our entire lives. It's good news and it's great joy for all people. So again, I just want to urge you to put your trust in him. Would you pray with me? Jesus, it was announced at that first Christmas something absolutely astounding. Good news, great joy for all people. A Saviour has been born. Lord, we labour under sin and suffer under sin and wrestle with sin in so many ways in our lives, and we have for generation after generation. There is something in us that needs redeeming, that needs saving. And we thank you that you looked at us with mercy, and on that first Christmas you sent your Son to be our Saviour. We love you, we trust you, we bless you, and we celebrate you, all that you've done for us. And that this isn't a season, a holiday season that will come and go and